VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It is once again Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Mitch Davis.
A little different voice. As our regular listeners will remember, we have spent the last couple weeks telling you that Adam would be on vacation this week and Mitch was going to fill in. A lot of you know Mitch from frequent appearances both here and on the real estate show at 8 o'clock. Mitch is an attorney with attorney Joe Pippin, who does the 8 to 9 show. And you are probably a little bit familiar with their work. And if not, well, I've told you for a couple of weeks that you can get your legal questions together because, hey, free lawyer sitting right here. You don't get that opportunity every day. Well, the calendar said that sometime between last week and this week, it turned into summer, and the weatherman must have been reading the calendar because it is a warm one, but it's a beautiful time on the first coast and the beaches are busy and so on and so forth. But you're not allowed to go out there until 11 o'clock after the show. How's that? Just kidding. You really have to wait for the next show, too, and go at 12. Anyway, I do want to remind everyone that not all financial radio programs are created equal. We are live as always. Lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. So if you want to either editorialize or control the content of the show in any respect, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call. Otherwise, all you're going to hear is what you hear on other shows, which is what I want to talk about or what they want to talk about. So if you've got something other on your mind, now is your chance to do it. And as Adam always likes to say, if you like the show today, we'll give you the next show fully free. We will tell you how to contact Adam or me. Mitch will tell you in a minute how to contact himself. And we'll carry on from there. But a little shameless self-promotion never hurt anybody. So, Mitch, why don't you tell the folks, if they would like to get hold of you off air, how they might go about it?
Sure. Well, folks can reach me either by my email, mitch@attypip.com. That's also our website. They can look up the firm on there. Or they can reach me by phone at 904-310-4069. I'm at extension 303. And, of course, if they're early risers, they can listen to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law, as you mentioned, 8 a.m. on the station on Saturday mornings.
And speaking of the station, some of you may have noticed that in the last week or so there's been a change. Our FM broadcast had switched a few weeks ago to 94.1, which was formerly the station known as The Promise. Apparently, a lot of the old reliable listeners to The Promise had their presets all done for 94.1, and they raised a little stink. They wanted it the way it always has been, so the station was kind enough to them to put us back. So we have reverted for the time being to 100.3 FM. But I also want to remind everybody that AM 600, having bumped up a few months ago to 50,000 watts, is reachable far and wide in this area. There is hardly ever a reason not to be able to listen to the show, and we'll keep you up to date as that changes. If you were to miss the show, you can simply log on to www.vanweefinancial.com, and it'll take you right to the area where we have our show on the blogs and on the podcasts. So you can always get them a day or two after the show, and you can get all the historical shows. You can also reach us on Facebook @VanWee Financial, at Twitter @VanWee Financial, or you can email us questions if you don't want to talk on the air at info@VanWeeFinancial.com. We are located out at the end of Butler in Jacksonville Beach, very easy to get to, and there's no excuse for not coming out to see us because your first meeting is always free. Parking is easy. It's a beautiful place. There's just no reason at all. So if you're in a position where you think there might be some things to talk about, and after this week, if you can't think of any, turn on the news. It was an interesting week, which I will get into right now. You're going to hear it all day long. You're going to hear it all weekend. you're probably going to hear it for the next week or two, that yesterday was the worst day in 10 years on the market. That is a very, very misleading way to look at what happened this week. The Brexit, as they call the vote on the Great Britain relieving itself, I guess, from the burdens of the EU, that was actually a two-day event. On Thursday, when all of the brilliant masters of the universe who know everything about everything just knew that the boat was going to go down in flames, the market shot up. Then about a quarter to one in the morning on Friday, they found out that all the masters of the universe were wrong. And the people spoke very loudly and very plainly and said, we are mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. We want out of this tyranny. About 52% of laws in recent years that affect England are passed not in England. They are passed in Brussels and passed along. Adding insult to injury, there is the fact that Britain pays in tens of millions of dollars and gets a small percentage of that back. That is unacceptable to them. I don't blame them. I'm not going to tell you what to think. I would much rather help you understand how to think. I think in all my years in this business and all my years listening to talk radio and reading books by very considered authors, I have learned an awful lot about how to think, not what to think. So the people that say that we're all programmed to repeat after me, that sort of thing, that's just not true. So in my view, the market this week, there's two questions. One of them, was it really that bad? And that's an interesting question, because when you look at the week's statistics, they were down 1.6, the market indices, 1.6 to 1.9. Well, I've seen plenty of weeks that did that over the past few years. So the big deal about the worst day in 10 years, that sells a lot of papers. The other side of that, too, is another fairly simple thing. That being that if you have some alternatives in your portfolio, such as gold and silver, tips, things like that, which you should, that really mitigated what happened yesterday. And I barely noticed it in a good diversified portfolio. It is nothing at all that I would spend a lot of time worrying about. Also, from the viewpoint of the people in Great Britain, they want their sovereignty back. I do not blame them for wanting their sovereignty back. I was supportive of it. They obviously felt like I did. I think it's a direct parallel to what's going on in this country right now. We are all upset with this great new world order and all of the rules coming down on high that are affecting all of us without asking. It's worse in the European Union, because the people who are running it were not elected by these people. Here, at least we can elect and hopefully then unelect the people we disagree with, but they don't have that ability. Fortunately for England, they never went with the common currency, the euro, and that's a good thing because it will make severing their ties so much easier. Their systems are already set up. We will be dealing with them. They're one of our most important trading partners. When Obama says we're going to put you in the back of the queue, he is flat out wrong, folks. They're going to be front and center. We're all going to demand it. We're dependent on them. They're dependent on us, and it's not going away. A little more after the break, but we will be talking to Mitch about some very interesting things that are going on. So don't go away. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Mitch Davis.
All right. The attorney is in. The lines are open. If you've got some legal questions you'd like answered, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call 222-TALK. It's 904-222-8255. Mitch and I have known each other for a while now. We've actually met changing of the guard here in one of the hours early in our radio career here, and got talking a little bit, and he does things that we need doing, because unlike your traditional stockbrokers, the practice, the fee-only RIA practice that Adam and I run as certified financial planners, we go a lot deeper into your whole financial life. So we like to say that if your financial advisor can only talk about investments, perhaps it's time to shop around for a new financial advisor. But one of the things that we get into, and of course not being lawyers, that means we need help. We get into living trusts. We get into the legal aspects of being a guardian, legal aspects of this and that. And then, of course, some of the things that Mitch gets into are related to financial practice, financial planning practices like ours. So we blend together very well, and we often hold meetings with clients where all of us are there. So I asked Mitch earlier this week if anything interesting had been happening in his practice that kind of overlapped into the financial planning world, and he didn't have any trouble at all coming up with some pretty good ideas. The first one had to do with two of my favorite subjects, using annuities within IRAs and naming trusts as beneficiaries. And he's got some recent experience with that. I'm going to let him set it up and tell you about it.
Well, sure. Well, you had mentioned that living trusts are one of the things that we look at a lot of times, especially where clients want to plan for incapacity, if they have an accident or an illness, if they want to make sure that they're planning around the probate process so that they can avoid some of the time and expense that goes into that when they have to transfer assets. And as part of that, we always talk to them about funding the trust and making sure that they have the assets that they want in the trust properly so that it can function the way that it's intended to. But it always gets a little complicated, as you mentioned, with qualified assets, because there are some times when it's good to include them in that process, especially if somebody wants to kind of regulate beneficiaries' access to it and make sure that there's somebody that kind of has a steady hand on the tiller to manage it. And there are some times where it's either unnecessary, you know, the beneficiary is responsible, they're okay with receiving all of it, or it's something like you'd mentioned, a qualified annuity, where you can kind of shoot yourself in the foot a little bit if you're not careful about how you're doing it.
A couple of definitions first. Living trust, you got a quick definition of it?
Sure. Basically, the kind of good layman's definition is a fancy will that avoids probate. It's a legal instrument where somebody can place assets before they pass away and provide for management of them while they're alive, and then management by a successor after they pass away.
Okay, and a qualified account is something like an IRA, 401k, or other accounts that are tax deferred until the money is withdrawn. There are some very wonderful things that can happen if you inherit money anytime. But if you inherit an IRA, there are even more wonderful things that can happen. And this is where Mitch ran into a situation that you should know about just in case. You want to?
Oh, sure.
Tell them what isn't covered if you're using that.
Right. Well, oftentimes we'll set up somebody's IRA to work with a trust and set the trust up as what we'd call a pass-through trust, which means that the IRA pays to the trust and the trust has living, breathing beneficiaries that receive those payments from the IRA. The trust is basically a transfer vehicle in that situation.
Treated more as a real person than as a trust.
Right, and so they qualify for that preferred tax treatment that you mentioned. You're allowed to do that with an IRA, but when you run into a qualified annuity, the rules are a little bit different. You're not allowed to have it receive pass-through treatment. The annuity can still pay to the trust, but the problem is that it's required to pay out a lot more quickly than the IRA would be, which means that you can run into some serious tax bills more quickly than you would otherwise.
From a financial planning standpoint, the term we use is stretch. Mm-hmm. When you inherit an IRA, you can usually stretch that IRA, meaning, yes, you'll have to take minimum withdrawals from it, but it will be based on your life expectancy. They'll be very small. And we anticipate that when that happens, if you do stretch the IRA, that you'll wind up dying with more money than you inherited. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful feature. It was only given to us about, what was that, maybe the Pension Protection Act in 96 or 06 or something like that. It hasn't been too long. Mm-hmm. Got to be done right, though. So here's a case that it would say, first off, as a financial planner, the first question I would ask Mitch is, why would anyone name a trust if they had a beneficiary clause on their IRA? Well, one of the reasons you might not is the lack of a stretch benefit. But are some people trying to perhaps, shall we say, protect the beneficiaries from their from themselves and their own spending habits? Is that why they
do right? That? So the last figure I heard was that the average beneficiary can run through an inheritance in about 14 months. So if you have somebody who's even a little bit less frugal than the average beneficiary, you could run into a real problem if they had basically a big bucket of money in an IRA and received it all at once and then had the option of whether or not they wanted to start dipping into it. In that situation, you'd run into somebody that would really be tempted to right away and go out and blow the entire thing. So with a trustee there as an intermediary to manage that, they can make sure that they're really only taking the RMDs or some specified amount, and they've got basically a protected income stream to help them for the long term, like you were talking about.
What was that term for, 14 months, 18 months?
14 months.
14 months, the average beneficiary can blow through it. Boy, they need some financial planning. By the way, we do have a trivia question. I might as well throw it out there. It really doesn't pertain to any of this. I usually like to do that, but I came across something this week, and I just can't resist asking. So today's trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call 636-7888. And the question is, what was the first local business to celebrate the repeal of the Volstead Act? Now, for most people, that's going to cause you to do a little research. So you got about a half an hour. But if you get it, we'll send you a Publix gift certificate. All right, back to reality here. I just had a little mind-wandering moment there. From my standpoint, I really detest IRAs in or annuities in IRAs. Mm-hmm. And we get accused all the time. I've been accused for many, many years of hating annuities. I do not hate annuities, people. I do not like annuity salespeople, with a couple exceptions, because I know they're trustworthy. Most annuities are sold to people who would have a better way of investing their money. The whole concept of an IRA is that it's qualified, as Mitch was saying, which means it's tax deferred. Well, the whole concept of an annuity is that you're paying some pretty large expenses in there, and one of the things you're getting for it is tax deferral. So it's a redundant thing to me to use an annuity in an IRA most of the time. In every situation we run into, every topic we cover, if you search around, you will find an exception. One of the exceptions is when people absolutely positively need unstoppable lifetime income based on perhaps a lack of other financial assets, based on perhaps an unbelievable longevity average in their family. There are reasons that you maybe should do this. But most of the time when you see an annuity in an IRA, I would have advised against it, and usually by then it's too late. Well, here's just another reason. All of these things lead back to the fundamental concept of financial planning. Do your planning before you do your investing, and these problems will not arise. It's that simple. All right, there's another topic that Mitch was talking about that is, I think, very pertinent to a lot of people, and that's the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which protects your cash assets in financial institutions. And here's a situation, it's almost a reversal of what we just said about trusts and so on. So carry on.
Well, sure. I had a client ask me this question and actually hadn't had occasion to kind of look into it. But of course, if you've got a substantial amount of cash that's in a bank account, there's a certain portion of that that's going to be insured by the FDIC, is going to be protected if there's, you know, in the unlikely event there's a bank failure or some kind of another issue.
Yeah, about every 10 years, everybody thinks about that. By the way, it's been about 10 years since we were thinking about it.
Because it does happen. But it was interesting to find that the rules on there are not just that, you know, they're covered for $250,000 for the account, but rather they'll actually sort of look through it and see how many beneficiaries there are if it's a trust account that are entitled to receive it under the trust, or if you had something like a pay-on-death account or a transfer-on-death account, it's sometimes called, how many people are named on there as beneficiaries. And they actually insure $250,000 for each of those transfers to the beneficiary. So there can be some more expanded protection than there might otherwise be.
Yeah, most of the time when you're dealing with a trust, you're going to find that it's treated as a non-person entity. And one of the really bad things about it is that your graduated tax brackets go up so fast in a trust that you don't get much of a 10, 15, 25, 28% tax bracket. You're almost at the top by the time you make a penny in the account. So most of the time, they're not good for that kind of thing. But I'll give you an example after the break of a time when you might want to know that the FDIC coverage was there. It would be a wonderful thing for some people who are doing some advanced estate planning. All right, the music's playing. We're going to have to take a break at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more. Lines are open. 222-TALK. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Mitch Davis.
Lines are open, 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. This segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. If you have watched your grass grow lately, if you stand there for about 10 minutes, it's longer than it was when you got there. He's been a busy guy. That's just my house lately. Call Troy at 662-9794. All right, trivia question is out there, and it's a strange one. One of those moods I was in, I guess. What local business was the first business to celebrate the repeal of the Volstead Act? And you'll probably be scratching your head when I tell you, how did you come up with that? But I digress. All right, FDIC coverage applying to every beneficiary in a trust. A classic example where I would like to see that used. All right, you know what we're going to do? I always say callers go to the head of the line. I'm going to interrupt this conversation and say, good morning, Chris.
How are you? You're doing a tremendous job as usual.
Well, you're listening very well, too. Thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, this thing that just passed in was thrown out in Europe, the English whatever your financial comments. Long term, I'd like to know, and I'll give you a guess and hopefully the correct answer to the trivia question. I'll say 1933.
What is the name of the business? That's what I'm looking for.
You said the Volstead Act. When was it repealed?
Now, it's what was the first local business to take advantage of the repeal of the Volstead Act?
Oh, I wouldn't know that one,
though. it's obscure to some people, not so much to other people. But anyway, yes, you're right about the date. That it was that long ago that this happened, we'll put it that way, and that's all the info I'll give out. You want to know about the Brexit, long run for the Brexit? It's a tempest in a teapot. How many hundred years did Great Britain get along as a sovereign country? Did they prosper or did they fail? They prospered. They're going back to being a sovereign country. They've got the same currency they've always had. It is definitely not worth losing any sleep over. And in fact, I find myself rejoicing over it because the freedom and liberty people are beating the one world order people. And that just makes my day.
Made my day.
If you stick around for more of the show, and we hope you do, I'm going to give you a sort of an in-depth opinion about all that, and that you probably will find it interesting.
I will.
Okay, good. Well, we appreciate it. You have a wonderful day, and stay cool.
Same to you.
Thank you. All right, one time when you might want to think about such things, if you're doing some financial planning, and you have, say, more than one heir, And maybe they're minors. Maybe they haven't done any planning. Maybe they're young adults. And you want to make darn sure that things go well. So when you set up your estate, you might want to look at a trust. And if you get a lot of cash, or if you're going to generate a lot of cash upon your death, or if there's a perhaps the proceeds of a large life insurance policy, and you want to stick it in the bank, and it's above $250,000. Well, if you have enough beneficiaries that each one is covered because they're at 250 or less, the FDIC backup coverage is really something that would give me a lot of comfort. Otherwise, you're probably going to have to go through some financial shenanigans to get separate accounts split out and so on. One of the things that we as financial planners do when we hear that someone has inherited money, someone has died suddenly, when there's a big insurance payout or anything like that, we tell the people, here's what I want you to do for somewhere between 6 months and a year. Nothing. We don't want decisions made at the lowest point in your lives. That's why financial planning really exists, people. It's to cover the contingencies of what if in your life. What if you were to die suddenly? What if this happened? What if that happened? That's why you do insurance planning. That's why you have policies. It's all a study in risk. A two-word definition for financial planning is risk management. That's what we do. We manage risk for you. One of the risks that we manage is your investment risk. We saw that in action this week. Well, risk doesn't solely mean that the value of your account can go down. It also means that the value of your account can go up. What can't go down can't go up. So all these annuity people that are telling you all this stuff about safety and security, I'll talk more about them over the weeks too. But there are some very, very genuine times and places about which this FDIC would be one more little piece of just comfort in a potentially bad time. All right, Mitch, other than that, now you had a couple of interesting cases regarding probate and guardianship. You told me, let's tell the people what's going on.
Sure. Well, these were just, you know, good reminders of the things that a lot of times we try to plan for and try to make sure that people are prepared for. And, you know, the guardianship case was a good reminder because without going into too much of the detail on it, you know, this was somebody that has kind of reached the point where they no longer have the ability to care for themselves. They're relying on family to do a lot of these things for them and to try and sort of take over their affairs. And to do that, you know, they have to actually go and petition to become guardian, go through the legal process for that and all of the hoops they have to jump through there, all of the ongoing compliance with the court as far as accounting's concerned and submitting inventories and these kinds of things. And it's a very involved process. And it was a good reminder of the fact that we can help somebody create an estate plan, whether that's, you know, doing a trust or will, having powers of attorney and other documents with the intention of giving them kind of a private means to have ongoing management of their affairs without needing to resort to a court to actually declare them incapacitated if they reach that point, and then the ongoing burdens of working with the court to reach a lot of those outcomes. If somebody can do it privately, it's a lot simpler and oftentimes a lot less strenuous for the person and for their family.
I think most of the people out there would agree that anytime you can stay out of court, you win.
Mm-hmm.
Something that all people should know, if there's any chance you're ever going to be a beneficiary or if you're ever going to be a trustee, you should understand that there is a lot of liability that it surrounds accepting that job, and you ought to know a few things. I've got a few little points here. These are mistakes that people are very likely to make. Commingling funds between your personal accounts and your estate
mm-hmm.
accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very likely in, especially with when it's a spouse, because they kind of live their lives with the intertwining of the trust and the regular accounts anyway. Purchasing items from the estate or the trust, this can get you in trouble if you don't have proof that you actually bought it out at market value and tried to get as much as you could. Failure to communicate with beneficiaries. Trust me, If you want to see the worst come out in people, read, just go to the reading of the will and watch all your other beneficiaries, and they look at you like you're about to rob them blind. Mm. Failing to keep valuable things safe. You know, as a executor, you have the absolute right to change the locks on the house. You also have a responsibility to protect those assets. If you're not willing to put up with that, you might not want to do it. Another one, distributing property before all the obligations are fulfilled. If you give too many things away and find out there are remaining taxes and such, guess who they're going to come? they're going to get it, folks. And they're not going to get it from all the people you distributed to. They're going to get it from you. Mm-hmm. The term that we use in law and in financial planning is fiduciary. You accept the fiduciary responsibility when you're dealing with other people's money. You should know these things. If someone wants you to say, would you be a trustee? Would you be an executor or something like that? You start asking them questions. Know more about what you're going to do before you sign on and say, oh, absolutely, I'll do that. And if they won't tell you, then you got to think about why they won't tell you. If it's so darn important that you do this for them, I would like to know why, and you should definitely know why. All right, we're going to take another break, the last one, and when I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Brexit, as I promised to Chris, and I think you'll probably enjoy it. If not, well, it'll be free anyway. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Mitch Davis.
All right, you still have one more chance if you want to know anything from the attorney, and he will not send you a bill. I won't let him. Or if he does, I'll just tell you not to pay it. How about that? Trivia questions still out there, sponsored by First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. This is a legal question. I couldn't figure out why this hit me this week. Then Mitch reminded me, because it's a legal question. What was the first local business to celebrate the repeal of the Volstead Act? And I will let you know before the end of the show, unless you can figure it out. All right, an old saying goes, democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. Democracy reared its ugly head in Great Britain on Thursday, and the sheep was somehow surprised that it lost. Perhaps the reason we have a representative republic here is because pure democracy is so full of surprises. The founding fathers never mentioned the word democracy, choosing not to let the people fight it out and make every decision by pure majority, because it's messy. Referenda, by their very nature, are our democracy in action because the majority rules. Be careful, folks, what you wish for. Sometimes the people are unhappy and they speak up. The results of the Brexit, the British exit from the EU, was a prime example. Personally, I'm very proud of the voters for bucking their leadership, speaking their own independent minds. It seems that the citizens of Great Britain have had enough of doling out their sovereignty to an entire continent, or two, or even three. After decades of declining independence, leadership, and prosperity, the European Union had apparently usurped too much power. So the citizens spoke, and they issued a resounding notification that they weren't going to take it anymore. In record numbers, they showed up and passed the Brexit. Most of the world's great leaders did not see this coming. Many of us, however, did. For years, I've questioned the ability and, more importantly, the willingness of the Brits and Germans in particular to drag along the less productive members of the EU. Apparently, their patience was waning. In his early 1990s book called Money Madness, economist Milton Friedman predicted the advent of a common currency in Europe, and shortly after that came the euro. In the same publication, he also predicted its ultimate demise. It's headed that way now. But fortunately for England, they did not accept the euro. They stayed with the pound sterling. Good choice, people. The separation will be so much easier because they have their own currency. The euro will, in my opinion, eventually fail as productive countries flee from the tyranny of Brussels. Due to the multi-country euro currency, the separation of some of these countries will be much more traumatic as they will have to redo their monetary systems. Germany and France, again, come to mind. Over half of recent new laws that pertain to Great Britain were passed in Belgium by the EU, whose leaders were not elected by the Brits. The borders were sieves. The entire sections of many once great cities are now places where average native-born citizens dare not go. All of Europe is littered with no-go zones, although most European elites deny their very existence. Great Britain pays hundreds of millions of pounds sterling to the EU annually, far in excess of any benefit they receive. Wages are stagnant, lifestyles are declining, and people no longer feel financially stable. That's just the economics. The social problems are as bad or worse, as many people now are worried about their own personal safety. At this point, I will resist any urge I am feeling right now to draw comparisons locally. Despite the economics I mentioned, make no mistake, the success of the Brexit vote was based on one thing and one thing only, immigration policy. No other grievance among the people has the weight and the power of the desire to protect their homeland from invaders and intruders. The perception is that the root of all the problems is in the loose and uncontrolled immigration policy of the EU countries. Borders have been functionally erased. Imagine how bad it would be, except for the natural borders formed by the waters that surround the islands of Great Britain. Friday was an ugly day in the markets as Americans and international investors faced their worst fear, uncertainty. I have never understood why people react so suddenly and with such irrationality and fervor, and I'm pretty sure I will never figure it out. However, the flip side of this phenomenon is that sanity always returns. It just returns a little slower than the insanity hits. As investors, we should watch in amazement, yawn a little, and have a nice weekend. Things will soon be better. Today's liberals use the term progressive and imply that their way is forward. Well, forward is a term coined by Karl Marx to describe a steady move towards socialism. Many of today's young people and far too many older people worship the ground that Bernie Sanders walks on, believing somehow that democratic socialism is a superior system. The Brexit vote should be a wake-up call for these idealists, but I'm probably dreaming. As to the threat issued by President Obama to, quote, place England at the back of the line for trade, it's laughable on its face. The new president, no matter who, will be front and center, establishing new and hopefully better trade deals with the sovereign country that emerges from Thursday's vote. Our oldest and largest trading partner will not be ignored. It will not be a choice made by the sovereign Britain, because Americans, the financial institutions, the biotech, the travel, were all very dependent on England. I have a feeling that Maggie Thatcher is having a very good day, people. She would have loved this. By the way, these opinions are purely mine. You are not required to share them. Once again, I like to tell you how to think, not what to think. And my thinking on this is anybody who's an investor who's already made what is probably going to turn into a big mistake by jumping on the bandwagon and selling out, you better rethink that and watch the market soon. We may have another bad day coming up this week. I would not be even a little bit surprised if Monday's open were ugly. After all, it was headed down on Friday. But it's not worth doing anything about it. You know what'll happen. Besides, remember that it wasn't a one-day event. It was a two-day event. The up day and the down day. The net of that was not even anything that makes me raise an eyebrow. Do use this opportunity to look at your portfolio and say, am I truly diversified? Do I have stocks and bonds, some cash? Do I have any alternative asset classes such as gold and silver? You don't want to overstuff any of your accounts with these things, but what you'd really like to do is to have a balance that stays there. There is a reason that, for the most part, a diversified account over time will outperform an account that is really concentrated in any one asset class. As in all things investing, there are no guarantees, but there certainly is good practice. It might be a good time to take a look at your own, and maybe you want to call 904-685-1505 and set an appointment with the Van Wee Financial office at your leisure. How about that? Those are my opinions. All right, Mitch, is there one common and shall we say, important reason why someone should really consider using a living trust? I know you could probably name a bunch of them, but what is the most, to you, the most important reason to have a living trust?
I'd say probably control, because it allows more control over that incapacity situation I was talking about, more control by beneficiaries after someone passes away to make sure everything goes smoothly. It's a good planning tool in both of those ways, just to make sure things are stable, organized, and well taken care of.
All right. I know there is a minimum level at which one has to probate an estate. Below that, I'm not exactly sure if you just file a document or what, but do you know what that level is off the top of your head?
Let's see. Below, I think it's $6,000, you can do a disposition without administration, where the clerk can do it. Once you get over $75,000 in non-homestead probate assets, you're required to do formal probate.
All right. And the living trust is the most important way to get out of probate altogether.
It's a very effective.
Should be done in conjunction with a pour-over will. It is absolutely critical that you contact a lawyer. If you want to get a hold of Mitch, you can do it through our office if you want to, just by calling us. We like to get involved, too. Thank you, Mitch. I'm going to talk about the Volstead Act here. The Volstead Act was passed because of the Prohibition Amendment. It was repealed when Prohibition was repealed, and Pete's Bar got the number one right out at the end of Atlantic. Pete's Bar, they got the number one liquor license after that passed. Local business that's been in business for a long time. Okay, unfortunately, we got to go. It's been a lot of fun. I want everybody to have a wonderful weekend. Stay cool out there. You're listening to the Banley Financial Hour, and we will be back. Adam will be here next week, same time.